Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for taking 30 minutes of your Wednesday hump day to join me. Hey, there's no better thing to do on hump day in the middle of the week than getting the Word of God in you. And to praise God, that's what we're going to do now. That's what you're doing here. Tune in here to this radio station here, WMIE and WWBC, tuning in here to WGOD Radio and the other programs that are on. And on top of that, a lot of churches have services tonight, and we do as well. And I am cordially inviting you to attend ours. If you're tuned in on our afternoon broadcast, that means it's about 5:31 right now. And that means you have got 28 minutes to turn that car around and head over to 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, 6 o'clock, Island Community Church. We're going to have a wonderful time at service tonight. Our church loves visitors, and I love the Word of God and teaching it. I roll out the blackboard, and it's open for questions, comments, answers. We're in the book of Romans, chapter 5, the end of chapter 5, and maybe chapter 6. So that's where we're going to be at, 6 to 7. If you are unable to attend, you can watch us on the app, the Island Community Church FL is where it's on there. That'll turn on live at 6 o'clock tonight, 6 to about 7:05. Otherwise, we'd love to see you in person. If you're able to make it here tonight, here today, we're looking at the doctrine of the rapture. This is part two of this, and I've tried my best to make this what the Bible says about the return of Jesus Christ. If I say the second coming of Christ, some of you might poo-poo that and say the rapture is not the second coming. There's arguments over that. But we're looking at what people say is the rapture, and we're looking in detail at what the Bible says about it. For instance, it says a moment in a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. You see, it tells you, the scripture tells you when that it is. Also, it also tells you when you read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says the dead in Christ will rise first. So let me ask the question, and you want to know this if you heard yesterday's or if you've studied this, do you know when that is? Well, of course we know the answer to that. Jesus said four times in John chapter 6, verses 39, 40, 44, and 54, that the dead in Christ rise on the last day. And then we got the word then. Then those of us who are alive will be caught up. That's harpazo, open theft, to steal violently. A thief in the night will be caught up in the air, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord. The Bible is exactly explicit and plain as the nose on your face for when the rapture is. It's when the dead in Christ rise. And that, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me should call him or draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Four times Jesus says it. Again, when you get to where you're going, look up those four verses, please. John 6:39, 6:40, 44, and 54. And four times in there, our Lord and Savior tells you that the dead in Christ, those who believe in him, will be raised up on the last day. Now, fast forward to the Apostle Paul. He tells you when this is going to happen, and he gives you the order of services. The dead in Christ will rise. The day of the rapture is Resurrection Day. That's what we're looking at. You don't hear that too much on the radio or on the TV because people have a position to defend, even if it's contrary to what the Bible says. I'm sorry, it's what it is. Let's call things what they are. People defend a position first over what the Bible says that it is. And I refuse that. I refuse to do that. We look at what the Bible says regarding something, not what man's opinion is regarding something. And that's what we're doing here. As a matter of fact, I think I need to preach this sermon again here at our church because we're in between books here before I start Galatians. And it might be high time to look at this again and help spread the word around so people can see and know the order here for our Lord's return. Because he gives it if you're paying attention. And if you look at it with unbiased opinion over what other people say about it, look and see what God says about it. All right, that's enough of me, at least for now. Let's get into this sermon. A little bit of more preaching here. The doctrine of the rapture.
Verse 40. This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me should draw him, and I'll raise him up on the last day. Verse 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. Now, allow me to ask you a question. According to the word of God, when will the dead in Christ rise? It's simple. On the last day. Which is point A in the first answer for question three. When will the rapture occur? A, on the last day. We don't have time to read it, but I'll give you another one. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 24. We're not going to look at it now, but write it down. When will the rapture occur? On the last day, because rapture day is resurrection day. Rapture day is resurrection day. I guarantee you, you will not hear that on television. Point B, for when is the rapture to occur? B would be after, sorry to tell you this, after the tribulation. After the tribulation. Matthew 24:29 says this, and I quote, immediately after the tribulation, that's in case you're wondering. Immediately after the tribulation, Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of heaven will be shaken, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, all the tribes of the earth will wail, they'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with power and great glory, and he will send out his angel with the great sound of the trumpet, and he will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. I wish it wasn't, but that sure sounds like the snatching away of his saints to me. Maybe there's two of them. If there is, then if not, then Jesus just told you when this is going to happen. He is going to gather together his elect after the tribulation. So he sends his angels, the trumpet sounds, the saints, his elect, are gathered together, which jives perfectly with point C. When is the rapture? For number C, you can put the last trumpet. The last trumpet. Scripture verse, 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We're not all going to die, but we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, incorruptible, and we will all be changed. Catch the link, though. The trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised. The trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised. The trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised. They're inseparable. The trumpet sounds, the dead are raised. Jesus says, the dead are raised up on the last day. So can the rapture be today? Say that again. That's the right answer. If today is the last day, remember, you know how fast the twinkling of an eye is? How fast is that? I've heard Jack Van Impe say once, it's like 44 one millionth of a second. In a moment. How far, how long is a moment? The twinkling of an eye. It's that fast. The twinkling of an eye. Sure, it could be today. If it's the last day, we saw last Sunday in my sermon that at the sounding of the last trumpet, the mystery of God, this is why we're looking at this today. I want to know if they're the same things. At the sounding of the last trumpet, we saw in our study in Revelation, he said the mystery of God would be finished. Remember that? That's why we're here today. Revelation 11, 17. We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who is and was and is to come, because you have taken your great power and have reigned. The nations were angry. Your wrath has come. The time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those that fear your name, small and great. And you should destroy those who destroy the earth. All that at the last trumpet. Now, it seems easy to you, doesn't it? All right. I haven't done my job if you don't leave this church confused. Otherwise, there'd ever be no arguments over it. Right? See, the problem is that solid men and women believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Why do good men believe in the pre-tribulation rapture? I have to do this because I utterly hate when preachers get on the radio and television and don't tell you the whole story. They give you the only the half they want you to believe, and they don't tell you the rest. Why do good teachers, why do like Adrian Rogers and David Jeremiah and John Hagee, why do these guys say this if it's as easy as I've made it out to be? Here's a couple of reasons why. John 14, 1. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Now, we believe this promise. It's in the Word. If Jesus is preparing a place for us, and he's coming back again, but so far that doesn't change anything. It just says that where I am, there you may be also. Maybe that means he's bringing New Jerusalem with him, right? He's been up there. He's the carpenter up there preparing a place for you, so that where I am, there you may be. Or Revelation 3:10, Jesus says, because you've kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you out of the hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole world to test those that dwell on the earth. Now, of course, we don't deny any of these scriptures. It's just that the early church believed that this deliverance was going to happen at the end on the last day, and delivered out of the last hour. I mean, that's what we believe. Probably the greatest reason why so many people believe that is because of Israel. Because people, Bible believers, factor in the nation of Israel, and we know God still has a plan with Israel, And you can read in Daniel chapter 9 about the 70th week of Daniel that seems like God's going to deal with Israel for 7 years. But it doesn't mean that you will never face any tribulation. Because Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. It's just that anytime I watch one of those guys, they never show you these. I have never in my life heard anyone on TV tell you the day of the rapture is resurrection day. Last thing we look at here this morning. What happens if you miss the rapture? Matthew chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven is like. Think about that. That's what Jesus says. The kingdom of heaven is like. Gets people thinking. What's he going to say? It's like Chevrolet and apple pie. Twinkies around the clock. Sorry, it's almost all food, isn't it? What's the kingdom of heaven like? He said it's like 10 virgins. That took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were smart and 5 were stupid. Those that were smart or foolish took their lamps but didn't take oil with them. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all fell asleep. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out. And the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Go buy your own oil. Now don't miss the spiritual truth revealed in verse 10. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Those that were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Those that were ready went into the wedding. Those that weren't ready, the door was shut right on their toes. Afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, open the door. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Then he says, watch therefore. For you do not know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. What happens if you miss the rapture? You are lost. Lost. If you miss this, I leave you with these last verses today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 9 through 12. Don't believe what you read and see in these Hollywood movies. If you miss the rapture, you can go back and regroup, and you've got 7 years to believe. If you miss the rapture, it's because you've rejected Jesus Christ. And this is what happens to all those that reject him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, the coming of the lawless one, that's Antichrist, the focus of next week's sermon, as we get to chapter 13. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. That is like the Godfather. He's pulling all the strings on him. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders. Meaning he deceives people with tricks. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Who's the truth? Right, Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth is a person. Right? What did he say to Pontius Pilate? I have come to bear witness to the truth. All those that are of the truth hear my voice, he said. Pilate says, what is truth? I'm telling you, it's a person. with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. This is why people die at the end of the age, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, that's refusing love. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion. Look at that, or write it down, please. 2 Thessalonians 2:11, God will send a strong delusion. God will send a strong delusion. Think of all the people that have deluded you. Maybe a child or a spouse or the weatherman or a president or a congressman. God's going to delude them. God is going to delude them. For this reason, that's refusing love. What a thing to die for. You're going to die because God loves you. How stupid is that? No, that's not stupid. People are deceived. We read in the book of Revelation that Satan has deceived the whole world. Would you die because somebody loves you? See, when the smoke clears, you see, you've been deceived. Someone's deceived you. The Lord loves you. For this reason, that's refusing love, God will send them, that's your son, your daughter, your brother, your mother, all those that missed the rapture. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion so that they will believe the lie. Not a lie. The lie. King James says, so that they all might be damned that didn't believe the truth and delighted in unrighteousness. And that lie is these three words: Antichrist is God. Antichrist is God. I'm here to tell you today, on the authority of the Word of God, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ prior to his coming back, God is going to send you a delusion, inspiring you to believe the lie. Where is that in the Bible? Earlier in this chapter, the Antichrist sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. If you reject Jesus Christ here today, you're going to be one of 4 billion people that believe that. He's sitting as God. He's in the temple of God. He's telling people he's God. You'll be just like the 4 billion if you reject him today. Don't believe Hollywood and the books that say, if you miss this, you've got 7 years to believe. The Word of God says, if you miss this, you're lost. You're lost. I praise God, everyone here in our small church here today, his name is written in the book of life. Let me not even assume that. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for everyone in this church and everyone on the podcast and on the radio that we're moved with conviction or unction from the Holy Ghost. And we pray right now, Lord. We stop and receive you as Lord. I call on your name to be saved. I believe you, Jesus Christ, are the Son of God. I receive you today. I turn and repent of my sin. I stop running. I believe you are the Son of God. I confess your name right now. I believe in you. I receive you as my own personal Lord and Savior. Write my name in the book of life. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
One of the strangest verses that ever fell from the lips of the Prince of Peace, Jesus, is this. He said, "Think not that I've come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." That's incredible, because the Bible calls him the Prince of Peace. When he was born, the angel said, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." The Bible says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." And yet in this passage, Jesus Christ said, "Don't think I came to send peace. I didn't come to send peace. I came to send a sword." What's he talking about? He is saying, "I came with a sword to put a line of demarcation between truth and error, between light and dark, between sin and righteousness." And what Jesus is saying is this, that when God's standard of righteousness is set, there will always be a division. Without righteousness, there can be no godly peace. Peace can never come. Are you listening? Peace can never come where sin remains. God will never make a peace treaty with sin. Never.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
With your confidence, 'cause I am yours.